So, you mean all the partners, or you want to know the locations?
Well, just in general. I know that there are these grants kind of multiple.
Right. So, the question was who was on the project. And University of Georgia, University of Maryland, Carnegie Mellon, then there were all of the, there was eight grower partners. Decagon Devices was the, they developed all the hardware. And then Antier Software was they also did some model integrations work. And Cornell and Colorado State as well. We're probably missing somebody, but. All right, well, let's go ahead and do the other one now. The second one first, the first one second. I apologize for that. So now I'm going to be talking about the thing that I was supposed to be talking about last time, but now I'm going to talk about this time. How much are ornamental growers willing to pay for irrigation technology? And I wanted to thank Monica Sebas and Eric Lichtenberg for their contributions to that, because it was a wonderful project to collaborate on with them. So, as I mentioned last time, decreasing agricultural water use is very important. Anytime that we can reduce that, that's a good thing for both the growers and for the environment as well. It means that there's more water available, and especially now in California as they're having the drought. I think they wish they could go back and save some of that water that they had. So for the most part, growers make irrigation decisions based on qualitative information, you know, how the plants look. If they're grown in a container, they pick them up, look at the root system, feel the container, how heavy it is. So that's about how it is. There's a lot of information that goes into that, the weather, the temperature, what's it look like for the next 5 hours, and they make their decision on whether or not to irrigate based on these qualitative factors, which works well, but whether or not it can work better is something that we've actually shown with these sensor networks. So these sensor networks are actually able to provide real-time information to growers. So instead of saying, well, my plants look dry or they're a little wilted, I'm going to turn the irrigation on, it actually has, you know, they can look up to the minute where their volumetric water content is. So how much water is in that substrate, and they can make their decision based on that instead of, you know, kind of using the combined knowledge that they've gained over however many years they've been growing. So, and these sensor networks have been shown to have multiple benefits, reduction in fertilizer usage, especially if you're fertigating, reductions in water usage, as I mentioned before, also reductions in disease, which can be really important for growers, especially for crops that are susceptible to certain diseases. So for those of you that aren't familiar with these sensor networks, basically how they work is that you have these nodes in the field which can connect up to 5 sensors to them, and these sensors can have whatever the grower wants. They can have soil moisture sensors, they can have temperature, relative humidity, leaf wetness, whatever they're interested in sensing, that we can put the sensors in there depending on whether they're in a greenhouse or field or container operation. They're going to have different suites of sensors that they're going to want to be using. So this information is collected by the node, stored there, but also sent off wirelessly to a data bit or a base station that then collects that information and puts it right onto their computer. So as soon as the information gets downloaded to the node, it gets sent off to the base station, downloaded to the computer, and so the grower always has up-to-date information. So they can look at, you know, the past hour, past week, past month, all the data that they've collected. So they can look at all that information on their computer and be able to see trends, make decisions, things like that. So this computer then can then look at models or irrigation scheduling, and they can decide, you know, how they want to irrigate based on the crop and what stage it's in, different things like that. Another thing that we've done with this project in the past year and a half, I believe it was, is this local control. So instead of the grower having to look at the data and say, okay, well, the plants are drying down, I'm going to make an irrigation decision, they actually hook the sensor goes directly to a solenoid valve. And then when it needs to be irrigated, they set a set point. It gets to that set point. It turns on for either a certain amount of time or for until a certain volumetric water content is reached. So the grower says, okay, I want to turn it on when it gets to 25% volumetric water content and bring it up to 30. Or goes to 25 and turn it on for 10 minutes. And then after 10 minutes, it'll wait 5 minutes or so, sense again, and then if it still hasn't reached the threshold that it needs to get to, it'll irrigate again. So basically that's takes all the decision making out of the grower's hands and puts it into the sensor network. Obviously there's safeguards built in that if for example the sensor network can't get information from the base station, it'll revert to a time-based scheduling, or in this case with a solenoid valve, it'll actually just keep going until it can connect to the base station again, because it doesn't need it. As long as it has its set points, it can do what it needs to do just locally. So there's a lot of different abilities of the system to send texts and things like that, alert you to problems. So the growers have really liked that feature. So basically what we did is we wanted to know, you know, what kind of value growers that didn't know anything about this technology, did they see it as valuable for their operation? And so what we did is we developed a national survey, and we distributed it as widely as possible. And thank you to those in the room that have actually distributed this. It was like pulling teeth to get the growers to do it, but we did finally manage to get 268 responses from growers throughout the country. 34% of those were at trade shows, 66% were online. And those results were collected January 2012 through March of 2013. And then the data was analyzed using a few different methods, but the ones I'm going to be talking about here, there's a Tobit model that looks at relationships between dependent variables and independent variables, and the Probit models, which is basically a binary variable, which is, you know, would you buy this network at this price, yes or no? So the variables are yes or no. So that makes it kind of easy. So if we look first at the distribution of the growers that answered the survey, you'll notice that the Census of Agriculture is in red here, and then the survey that we did is in the blue. So you notice that from about $100,000 or more per year, that the our kind of goes up and up. So basically, we're overrepresented by larger growers, which sounds like a bad thing, but when you think about it, it's actually not. The growers that are more likely to use this technology are not the ones that, you know, are only grossing $5,000 a year or $20,000 a year. It's the one that have substantial acreage that they need to control. So the ones, you know, $100,000 or more is actually a really good place to be. So we're overrepresentative of them and underrepresented on the lower side, the smaller growers. So actually turns out to be not too bad. So the first question that I'm going to talk about is, the question was, a basic sensor system contains a base station, software, and a single node with up to five sensors, which monitors and controls irrigation in a single production area / irrigation zone. Would you purchase a basic sensor system if the price was X? So the growers got a little bit of a blurb about the project and about what sensor networks were. They weren't giving any sort of data. It was basically kind of a cold question about, you know, do you see the value in these? So the price that they were given was either $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000. So that respondent only got one of those answers. So would you buy this system for $4,000? And they would just say yes or no. So when we look at the results from that, as would be expected, as the system price goes up, their willingness to buy that system goes down. So you know, the kind of outlier is a $3,000 group. So for some reason, the growers thought that $3,000 was reasonable. Not to say that it isn't, but that was kind of interesting that we saw that was actually the case. Although this is controlled for how much money the grower actually makes, so the way that the Probit runs, it actually takes that into account. So when we look at the fraction adopting this technology, so we have the price on the y-axis, and then the fraction adopting. So 100% would be, or one would be 100% adoption. We initially thought that the base system price, as we configured it, would be about $3,500. It turns out that that's not the case, but if we go with $3,500, based on what the grower said, their willingness to pay was, we said about 20% of the growers that we sampled, which, you know, should be relatively representative of large commercial growers. So 20% of those should adopt the sensor network system. And then we actually found out that the price is most likely going to be not as high as we initially said. They said it's probably going to be somewhere around $2,500, which is good for us because that means that the fraction adopting is actually going to go up to about 37%, so almost doubles with a $1,000 reduction in the cost of the system. So as that hopefully goes down in the future, more and more people should adopt this technology because it would be cost competitive for them to do so. So this is kind of the same information, just kind of flipped on its head, but I think it's easier to see that at this point here, there's 30% of the growers that said, if you gave me the system, I would not buy it. And you know, being that they were given very little information about it, didn't know the benefits of it, didn't know how hard or easy it was to use, you know, that's okay. So there's basically a 70% adoption window at this point, you know, with very little information that their growers actually knew. So the next question that I'm going to talk about is that a basic sensor system is expandable. So you could buy additional nodes with 5 sensors and use the same base station and software package. Suppose you already purchased the basic system. How many additional nodes would you be willing to purchase for your operation if each node cost X? So basically this is seeing, okay, we're saying that you bought the system. How many more nodes would you want to buy? And X was $500, $1,000, $1,500, and $2,000. And they had basically a range of numbers that they could pick. And they say, okay, well, you know, at $1,000, I would buy 3 of them. Or at, you know, $2,000, I would buy 0. So that was their choice, is that they were given the price, and then how many would you buy? So the number of additional nodes purchased, kind of all over the place, and it seems like one of the things that we found out was that growers were very sensitive to the base price, but not sensitive to the node price, and this really reflects that. There's no clear pattern here. So, you know, $5,000 or $500, you know, they'd buy 4 of them on average. $2,000, they'd buy a little less than 4. So, whereas at $1,500, you know, about 2. So that was kind of interesting. We didn't expect that. And then you can see that here, whereas, you know, this slope is a lot lower than on the last graph when we looked at the base station price. So this is really, so from, you know, 1 node to 4 nodes, the price differential is about $1,000. So we're not talking about, you know, the growers were, as I said, very insensitive to the actual price of the additional nodes. Once they were going to buy the technology, they were all in, and so it didn't really matter to them. They were going to get as many as they needed to get the maximum benefit out of the system or whatever the case may be. So in conclusion, the average willingness to pay was $1,905, which isn't too far off from the initial projected price of about $2,500. So, you know, we expect there to be a number of growers that are at least interested in the system on paper. And as we all know that have done any kind of economics or marketing, people say that they're going to do something, and what they actually do when they have to put the money down are two very different things. So 37% of respondents are predicted to adopt at their current price of $2,500. 30% of them, at least at this point, knowing what they knew, would not adopt the system. So things like income, farm size, and percent of revenue from greenhouse production, among other things, were all positively and significantly associated with adoption of the base system. So as their income increased, farm size of the operation increased, and the revenue that they got from the different sources of container, field, and greenhouse, as those increased, they were more likely to buy these systems, which makes sense because they have more plants to take care of. And if this is similar to other types of technology, we expect a 0.3 to 0.8% increased adoption rate every year that this technology is out there. As prices go down, more people find out about them, more people are willing to take the plunge to buy these sorts of systems. And as I said before, growers are much less sensitive to node price as they are to the base system price. And with that, I once again like to thank the folks at NIFA for providing the funding for this. And this research was actually just recently accepted into Water Resources Research, so should be out in the next few months. And with that, I'll take any questions.